Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty. Sports and sports and sports. Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mass. Awesome. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They do a good job mixing and matching. They got two different lineups against lefties, against righties. The rotation is pretty solid. They got a great closer. It's a tough team, relentless. They got a few guys there. You know, JT has been in a third base and in the clubhouse. Manny Machado is back. We're going to see him again. It's a complete team. They play with energy, too. Dodger Stadium will be loud. It should be a great World Series.
Yes, it should. It should. I'll have more thoughts on the Dodgers over the Brewers later this hour, but it should be, Mass. I mean, this is a great World Series. Just Red Sox-Dodgers, just everything that implies.
Sure, absolutely. Two historical franchises, right? Got a lot of history there. Opposite coasts, one down South California, the other in New England. Like, the history, all of it. And you get a lot of lines crossed. Cora played out there. Roberts played here. Like, all of that.
So that's stuff I don't care about. Like, I don't care about that. I don't know why I don't. Maybe I should, but I don't. Like, that doesn't do it for me. What does it for me is Dodgers, Red Sox. Like, there's just, those are two teams that mean something. There are so many teams out there that mean nothing to anybody. Even, you know, the people of that town. Diamondbacks. Like, yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? There's just so many teams that don't mean anything to anyone. And when you get teams like this that are generational, I think it just makes it more meaningful. Never mind the big markets. I like the fact that both are high payroll teams. That you don't have one of these things where, if it were the Brewers, you would have had the number one payroll versus the 22nd, a team, the Red Sox, that outspends Milwaukee by over 2-1. And that's not a fair fight. And so it's like, these are two big spending teams, ton of stars, ton of polarizing figures, ton of, like, star-crossed, meaning, you know, guys who've come up short their whole career. Kershaw, Price, just two off the top of your head. So, I mean, all of it. Good guys, bad guys, star power, big money, marquee franchises, both coasts. Red Sox, Dodgers, Chavez Ravine World Series. Boom.
Like, no, there's juice there.
Nice, nice. That feels good. That's big. That's legit.
I mean, and there's something about, too, and I don't know, maybe it's just me, but from the time I was younger, a lot younger, The idea of those 5 o'clock World Series games out in L.A.
Oh,
in the sunshine, like, I don't know, there's something about those, that the backdrop there, that is great. And I think games are going to be tight. I mean, I think you're going to see competitive series here. I'm just surprised so many people are dismissive as the whole thing as they are.
Stunned.
That part I just can't get past that. I can't get over that. I'm stunned that people think that. The Red Sox, really, if you weigh it out, have pretty much had to play, like, the three toughest teams they could probably play. You talk about a gauntlet. Now maybe the Cubs would have been up there, but if you weigh out in terms of talent on paper,
this Dodger team's better.
I mean, I think they are. I think they have more. They have a higher ceiling than the Cubs do.
Their pitching's better.
So you go right through and you say Yankees, Astros, reigning champs, and then Dodgers? I mean, if the Red Sox are, you know, if they win it, there'll be no disputing them being the best team in baseball. Like, you know, they're running the gauntlet to get there.
I mean, listen to me prattle on about the Dodgers pitching, just pounding the Dodgers pitching. Watch, the Kershaw's going to give up 8 in 5 innings, and the Sox are going to win 10-2 tomorrow. You just know, like, that's the way it's going, right, Murray?
Yeah, that's how pretty much I envision this, yeah.
Well, remember, they haven't played great here.
The Sox?
Yeah, not this October, I mean. Not in the postseason. They have not played great at home. So now, and when they go on the road this time, you say they're unbeaten on the road, except they're not going to have a DH this time through. So I don't think this is a layup. I think people are completely, like, glossing that over, and I think it'll change come tomorrow night.
Scott in Weymouth, 20-second shot clock. Scott, lead us off this hour.
20 seconds, easy. I'm down to 17 seconds. First of all, am I the only one who's pumped at L.A.? It's very tough to chant beat Milwaukee at Fenway, but get ready for the beat L.A. chant. Secondly, the Sox, Jim, I'm with you. The Sox may sweep them. Everyone's talking about Kershaw tomorrow night. Chris Sale's no slouch, you know. He's capable of outpitching Kershaw. This Sox in 4 or 5, mark my words.
Okay, 100% Chris Sale's capable of outpitching Clayton Kershaw. No question about it. Absolutely. In his current state, where are we?
See, people just gloss over that part. How can you gloss over that based on what he looked like the last time he was on the mound? He hasn't pitched in 9 days. Now, that part of it, I think, will be 9 days by the time he gets to the mound. Now, that part of it, I think, may help him. What I'm worried about is that after that first start against the Yankees, when they gave him the long buildup, the stuff hasn't been the same. He hasn't bounced back. So is that what we're looking at here? And let's say that this 9-day layoff now does allow him to recharge and he can bounce back. That's great. What's it going to be like in game five? I honestly, if it were me and I'm the Red Sox and I'm managing this thing, I look at Sale and I say, if we get one out of him, let's take it. We're good. One. We have one good game out of him. We'll take it.
Going back and forth between Sox and Patriots, Joe in Pittsfield has a Pats thought for us. What is it, Joe?
Well, I have a problem with the Patriots trying to cover tight ends.
Can't do it.
I was watching yesterday, and number 80 was making plays all over the place, and he was a scrub with the Eagles, got traded to the Bears. And my other point with the Red Sox is to keep it simple, stupid, and don't change the lineup.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Keep it simple. Mookie Betts at second. Would you stop with this? Just take Bradley out of the lineup. You'll be okay. You'll be fine. Jackie's proven himself. He's not going anywhere. You'll have him next year. Covering tight ends. Boy, they just gave 80 whatever he wanted yesterday.
Oh, gosh. I mean, over and over and over again. I'm surprised the Bears weren't able to take bigger advantage of it.
It's because the quarterback had a horrible day.
And it looked like, to me, it looked like Chung had him a lot of the time. Like, I thought Chung got abused in that game. I think their safety play overall this year has sucked. But in this game, it felt like Chung was there a lot, and he got absolutely abused. Now, that one I almost look at and blame the Patriots because I don't think Chung's a great cover guy, and that doesn't feel like a great cover for him. But in this, like, there were even a couple times where it felt like he was chasing Gabriel around. So they linebackers and or running backs and tight ends attack their linebackers and their safeties and coverage, and you'll beat them.
Max and Gloucester on the Dodgers. Yes, Max.
Hi.
Hi, Max. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, as a Dodgers fan, Maz, I love your takes on baseball. And when I was listening on Friday with Felger saying if the Milwaukee wins, you guys, I'm going to be suffering all week. I kept thinking, well, if the Dodgers win, Maz is going to be suffering because he's actually going to have to talk about him rather than just make all the guttural noises and go off about how much he hates everything that's ever come out of L.A.
I hate the Dodgers.
Really to get you actually talking about, oh, hearing you say Jansen's filthy, just, oh, my gosh, I almost ran off the road. I was so pumped.
Yeah, hold on. What happened to you? I thought you hate the Dodgers.
I do. I hate the Dodgers.
And everything they in Los Angeles stand for.
Well, it doesn't mean they're not good.
Okay, give me your thoughts on Los Angeles as a city and the
Dodgers. I despise Los Angeles. I hate everything about Los Angeles. Oh, it's so phony, please. It's like fake America. You know, fake city. Fake city. There you go.
Couldn't be more wrong.
So I hate LA.
You're so wrong.
Fake sports. Fake sports fans. Totally fake sports fans. Like, to me, it's all about being seen out in L.A. It's not actually about winning the game. So, fake city. And the Dodgers, pleased with that. Now, look, I love the unis. I've told you, I love the home unis in particular.
I got it, but the team?
I mean, the white with the blue lettering and the red numbers.
That's,
I mean, those are sharp.
That's classic.
Those are, like, the nicest uniforms in baseball, if you ask me. But the franchise, the whole Dodger arrogance, the Dodger way, Dodger blue, go F yourself. The Dodger blue. I hate the Dodgers. Can't stand. There is not a more arrogant franchise outside of possibly the Yankees, who actually have earned it, than the Dodgers, who somehow think that, like, you know, they created player development the whole nine yards. Anybody I've ever met from the Dodgers, borderline arrogant a-hole. Seriously, just about everyone I've ever met from the Dodgers, arrogant a-hole. They invented the game, and they, you know, L.A., the glitz, the whole nine yards. Cannot stand it. Can't stand it. Losing to the Dodgers, to me, would be like the ultimate salt in the wound type of pain. Ultimate to lose to that franchise. Hate L.A. Hate it.
Okay, they have good pitching, though. More of your thoughts.
They're good.
Right after this, more of your calls.
Felger and Maz, the Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady drops back, look left, and then he floats it right for Devlin. The pass is caught and knocked out of the hands of Devlin into the hands of Fuller. An interception. Chicago has it.
Brady got hit on pressure. I jinxed him with saying he's playing a clean game. He gets hit. Makes a poor decision, attempting to throw it, rushing his throw out to Devlin. He sees the blitz. He's lucky he didn't just get that for a pick six. You're lucky you got that. It's just a catching down right there.
The safety, Amos, had the opportunity.
Should have ate it. Should have just ate the ball.
How'd you feel about that play, Mass?
Oh, my God. That play pissed me off to no end at the end of that game. Tom Brady, of all people, you're up two touchdowns. Two touchdowns with 6.5 minutes to go. Worst case scenario there, you either whip it into the ground or you take a sack. Okay? And then you punt it and try to knock it out inside the 10-yard line. And then the Bears have to go the length of the field twice. The Bears! Length of the field twice just to tie. Like, and you decide to give them the ball in the middle of the field? I hated the way the Patriots closed out that game yesterday.
That was on Devlin, by the way. If you want to get mad at Brady on a throw, it was one of the last ones he had to Gordon on the left side of the field. That was a terrible throw. That yesterday, hang on to the ball, stupid. I know, and how many of these interceptions, too, where I've been squirting out of guys' hands? Gronk, Chris Hogan back in the Indianapolis game, and this yesterday? Pisses me off.
Okay, but Murray, he just kind of, like, flipped it out there. It was almost like, ooh, catch it. Like, he almost, like, shot-putted it. It was just a lazy, sloppy, careless throw. And there was the chance that someone was going to get a hand on it. So the fact that an interception ended up on it, I hear you, Devlin could have secured the ball too. I don't want to dismiss him from it. But Brady knows better. Like, that's the part that gets me. As I look at it and I say, you've got to be kidding. Now look, the next drive, they did better to kill some clock there. And then Allen had to punt. Even then, he booted it into the end zone. It didn't come close to you. Remember that punt?
Yes.
It was like 7-8 yards deep into the end zone. It was horrendous.
Pointless.
Oh, God, it was awful. They ended up gaining like 8-10 yards on that exchange.
Pointless.
It was a total waste. So I just hated it. I hated all the stuff that happened at the end of the game, starting with that.
How about their turnovers, Maz, just in general this whole season?
So I told you, I looked it up today because I felt this way earlier in the year, and it hasn't really come up, and now I think it's a thing. They are tied for 8th in the league with most giveaways. Patriots. A Bill Belichick team fumbling the ball and throwing interceptions. They've had a turnover in every game. They have yet to have a turnover-free game. We are almost halfway through the season. So turnover differential is one thing. Okay, and they're a plus one, which isn't good for them either. Typically, they're up near, in the top, 7 or 8 teams in the league in that. This year, they're in the middle of the pack. They're basically neutral with regard to turnovers. And they're fumbling like crazy, and I don't think this includes, because obviously they didn't turn the ball over. The Edelman muffed down on the goal line yesterday. They tried to give away another one down there at the end of the half.
Bears couldn't recover that.
It hit him in the face, and then he turned, and it bounced right to him, and he fell on it.
Two guys right there.
But otherwise, they got lucky there. Like, I am floored by the sloppiness and carelessness that they have had with the football. And I know that Murray's right about the deflections on the interceptions. There have been a handful of those. Even so, Patterson runs into a guy, the ball pops out. Gronk gets hit from behind, the ball pops out. And I'm going back over a number of games, not just yesterday. The ball security in this team has been, for them, for a Belichick team, garbage.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Patriots, Bears, Red Sox, Dodgers, Steve and Dedham on the Pats. Go, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, this is the reason why I call. You guys just touched on it. The play calling yesterday, I don't know if Josh McDaniels, Brady, can he change the calls, but the 4th-and-1 throw to Josh Gordon, which he ended up catching, but smashed his face into the turf.
Steve, I hated that play call. I'm with you.
I mean, can you call a more low percentage type of play? And then the 3rd-and-1 throw to Devlin. 3rd-and-1. Why can't you up by 2 touchdowns? Why can't you run the ball there? And if you don't make it, you run the clock out. And then at the end of the game, when they're up by 7. Why didn't they kick the field goal there? I mean, they did it against Kansas City. They let Gostkowski kick a 50-yarder, taking a chance against Kansas City, but they didn't do it yesterday, and then they punted, and the ball goes through the end zone. I just thought the play calling was horrible. What did you guys think?
Okay, Steve, that last field goal, I don't know if I would have done.
Me neither.
I wouldn't have.
I didn't have a problem with the punt. I had a problem with the execution
right.
of the punt.
How about take the delay of game so you give Allen a little bit more yardage to punt?
Another good one, Murray.
Come on, he's a better punter than that, too. That was putrid. It was a drive they scored on. There was 2 back-to-back plays I absolutely despised in this game by Josh McDaniels. They roll Brady left, and then that was followed by, I think it was a direct snap to James White.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Falk.
Like, stop it, too. And I think there was even another goofy trick play where it looked like he was going to try to throw to Dwayne Allen. Yeah, please. Oh, he's the best blocking tight end in the NFL. They're not throwing it to Dwayne Allen, so stop it with that nonsense. There was some questionable play calling in this offensively that I didn't like.
Okay, so I wonder if the 3rd-and-1 to Gordon comes 4th-and-1. Sorry. Comes from the sidelines, or that's just where the read takes Brady, that they're doubling on Edelman or doubling on White or whatever, and so that's, he's got Gordon one-on-one on the outside, and that's where the quote-unquote read takes him. I've said this all the time. If the read takes you for a bomb on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1, then you have to figure something else out. I hate that play. Hate it. whether that's Brady's decision or it comes from the sideline. I can't stand that. However, the fact that Brady's willing to go there in that situation is a real good sign for Josh Gordon. Real good. And he made a great play on it. So tip of the cap to Josh Gordon.
When that ball went up in the air, I went, oh my God, what are they doing?
How do you feel about Josh Gordon in general?
Okay, not great. I still think it's inefficient. Now some of it's on Brady. There was one yesterday where he ran a little
threw behind him.
Oh, way behind him. I mean, Brady missed him by a ton. Now, look, I don't know if Perillo were here. He'd know, you know, he'd say maybe Gordon didn't run the right depth or something like that. Who the hell knows? But to me, that was a horrible pass. Other than that, look, see, he made some big plays in the game, but I still 4 for 7. Like, I still...
Four catches, 7 targets.
Right. I still feel it's not, you know, that's not how the Patriots want to play.
How'd you feel running out of gas at the end of that
run? Oh, my gosh, like, that was embarrassing.
What was that?
I don't think that's gas. That's this hamstring thing he's been dealing with.
Or did he have a concussion? Did you see the pop he took earlier in the game? He got a helmet-to-helmet that they threw the flag on and picked it up, I think.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
Could he have had a little concussion?
Any or all of the above.
Something, because that didn't look right.
No. In fact, he was really... Nobody gets that tired running 50 yards.
Yeah, how could he have gotten tired?
No. See, he said he was tired, too, after the game. That's what he said. I got tired there. My first instinct was he can't go full bore because the hamstring will pop. So I sort of agree with Murray on that one, but that something's not right there.
So overall on Gordon, just grading on my own personal scale, I thought he might be gone by now. Like, I didn't think this was going to work. And so are we 5-6 weeks into the thing? And he feels like getting Brady's trust every little bit more and more. I think they've done a good job with him. I'll say that. This ain't over. I'm not willing to say I'm wrong yet by a long shot. Got a long way to go. But just assessing it, I think they've done a good job with him. Like, whatever they're doing off the field, they're keeping him on the rails. On the field, they're forcing it to him, I think, sort of like they did with Michelle when he first came back from his injury. Like, it's like Gordon's having his training camp now, so I think they're going to him in a few too many situations, and they're not quite ready to, but oh well.
That was definitely the case in the Kansas City game.
Don't you think?
9 targets, yeah, it felt forced at times.
So I think they're trying to get him going, but to go 4th-and-1 over the top to him and for him to come down with that, that's a big play for him and Brady, I think.
I mean, he did. He made a good play on it.
So there's
he absolutely slammed his face into the ground.
Okay. On the other side of it, a guy I just don't like and still don't get is Cordarrelle Patterson. Nick in the car, your thoughts on him?
Yeah, just what a garbage move by Patterson yesterday. I mean, I haven't seen somebody play tiddlywinks at the 5 like that since Beckell Johnson in 06. I mean, come on. And I hope Bill rips into him today in that team meeting. And I also want to just get you guys' thoughts on the Peter Gannon tweet today. Thanks.
What's the what about the wall and Trump and whatnot?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Off-air show. Will you come on to the... We're doing the off-air show, Facebook Live, 6:15 tonight. Will you coming back and try and decipher Gammon's tweets for me?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't even know what the tweet is.
It's nonsense.
It's like an old man yelling at the clouds.
Yeah,
you should stay away from Twitter.
Right. Okay. So we'll do the off-air show. 6:15 Facebook Live tonight. Maz will answer your Peter Gammon's Twitter questions. What was the first thing that he said? Oh, Patterson. Patterson feels like the kind of player who would fit on the 2009 Patriots. Just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Like, not their kind of guy. Doesn't get it. Has that fumble yesterday. Does that jackassery on the field at the end of the touchdown. When he's asked about it, he asked if that touchdown, you know, was redemption for the fumble. He says, not redemption, man. I'm a playmaker, man. Hey, about the premature celebration. It's not premature, man. I have fun with my job. When I stop having fun with it, I'm going to be done with it. I wonder if that's like an intentional, you know, rhyme there. If he's rhyming there for Mike Reese in the post game. That's what I do. I'm going to have fun every time I get the chance. And then again on the fumble, he says, quote, it's football. Bleep happens. Oh, okay. Like, not their kind of guy. I don't see how he's their kind of guy in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, that's the one that sent me into orbit. It's football. Bleep happens.
Good Lord.
I'm sure Belichick would accept
that. Yeah, whatever. Bleep happens. They have that on the wall next to do your job and ignore the noise. Bleep happens is 3rd on the list. Yeah, I mean, whatever.
For a team that is obsessed with value, right? How do you explain this guy? Like, it makes no sense to me that they would pay that much money to a guy that does one thing only, and then fumbles in the process.
And be like, whatever, man, bleep happens.
Like, it just makes...
It's kind of the embodiment of the whole training camp, the whole, days off.
So is this one of those where,
happens.
They changed the kickoff coverage rule, right? No more running start at the kickoff. And Bill's sitting there, and as soon as he heard it, went, ooh.
I think Bill thought there was going to be Yes, I feel like he was doing that.
So he ran out and got the guy right away and says, we're going to be a step ahead of everybody. And then the guy gets here and you realize He kind of sucks.
It's the same difference. He does kind of suck. He ain't a playmaker, man. He kind of sucks. Kind of sucks, but he's super fast. All right, so either way, Patriots, Bears, Red Sox, Dodgers in the World Series. More Dodger thoughts for you right after Murray's update here. The latest on Sony Michel's injury will come your way right in this update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
2-2 pitch coming. Here comes Kershaw, and he struck him out, and the Dodgers are going to Boston. They will celebrate on the field here at Miller Park, and they're going to the World Series. 5-1 the final.
So, sad day in Cheeseland. Very, very sad day in Cheeselandia. Very sad. Bob Uecker, Brewers Radio with the call. Thought I'd just give you that.
The dream died.
Very sad. It sucks. Kind of. Let me give you my thoughts real quick. Brewers, Dodgers, better team won. Brewers, my team, but not a championship team. I'm sorry, they're not. They're not a championship caliber team. They could have won the series. Don't get me wrong. They were up 3-0 in the 7th inning of game 2 to go up 2-0, and they blew that game. They're up 2-1 in the series and then have that marathon 13-inning game, which could have gone either way. If the Brewers pull that one out, they're up 3-1, and they're all showing up the next afternoon for a game. Whoever lost game 4, that 13-inning game, was going to lose the next one. It was an afternoon game. You couldn't, you know, hear yourself think. You're all tired. And so if the Brewers had won that extra inning game, they're 3-1 up, and you got to like them the rest of that series, except they lose that extra inning game. So they were right there, but... they didn't deserve to win. They're not the better team. They're not a championship caliber team. When your ace, and that's what Ulys Chacin is. He's their ace. He's unquestionably their best pitcher. When your ace is not deemed strong enough to go more than 2 innings in game 7 of the LCS after just giving up 1 home run, then I'm sorry. You don't have a starting staff. And I know the game has changed, but it hasn't changed that much. You have to have some starting pitchers to win. And the Brewers don't. So... big picture, I'm sort of at peace with that because I think the Brewers went as far as they could go or should go. If you just want one little quick little Brewer second guess.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the rating was good. A lot of you watched that game, so hopefully I'm not talking to nobody on this. The way the game has been managed now and the way the Brewers do it a lot is they sort of manage their bullpen backwards. In other words, the first guy out of the pen is their best and they hold on to the one-run lead and you sort of go backwards down the bullpen. So Hader's the first guy out and he goes 3 innings. So get it, okay, this is what we're doing. We're down 2-1, we're going to keep it as close as long as possible and try and outlast the Dodgers. So Hader comes out first, and he gives you 3 innings. No runs, 2 plan. Then you get to the 6th, and the Brewers bring out Cedeno and Jeffers. And Jeffers is their closer, but he's been easily their shakiest reliever in the last 2 weeks, call it. He's been their Kimbrel, where... he'll get the save, but there's always guys on base. He's always letting guys on base. His command is shaky. And oh, by the way, he wasn't always getting the saves. He's the one that gave it up in game 2. So if you've been following the Brewers, easily their second best guy has been Knebel. And then there's been guys like Woodruff and Burns. And those have clearly been their guys, clearly. And Council there, or the nerds, I don't know, who's ever pulling the strings there, after Hader comes out, in the 6th inning, he goes Cedeno, Jeffress. And he gives up the 3-run home run to Puig, and now it's 5-1. 5-1 pisses me off. If the Brewers had lost 2-1, I'd be okay with it. They hit a home run, we hit a home run, they happen to have a guy on base. Okay, you lost to a better team. Like, 2-1, I'm okay. 5-1 pisses me off. Because Cedeno never should have been in that game, Jeffress never should have been in that game at that time. Never should have been in there. And it makes no sense to go 3 innings with Hader and then not bring in your second best reliever next to go down to your 4th and 5th best reliever. What are you doing? Knebel's there, rested, ready to go. I don't even think he pitched more than a couple batters the night before. Knebel's hot, ready to go multiple innings. Now, is it Woodward or Woodruff? Woodruff and Burns, ready to go. And you go to Cedeno, who's like way down the list, and Jeffers, who's been an absolute killer. That pisses me off. And if I were doing Milwaukee sports radio, I'd spend all day on that. Apparently, they don't do that out there. So that's why I just did it. You Milwaukee guys, you can clip that and run that if you're not doing it out there, because apparently they don't second-guess anybody out there. It's like a petting zoo.
I got to say, I'm just mad we got robbed of Boston v. Felger.
So this is what I want to get to last, and that is I've been spared. I've been spared. As upset as I am, it was sad. I went out there for the game. I was right there. And I was just, it's another devastating loss for a Wisconsin sports fan. It hurts. But I saved myself what would happen these next 2 weeks, which is the Red Sox would have throttled the Brewers.
Oh, that would have been fun.
They would have throttled them. It would not have been close. I think the Dodgers have a chance. I think the Brewers would have had no chance. None. Furthermore, so you would have mocked my team. You would have beat up on my team.
Who would have mocked you?
And that means you would have mocked me. You would have made it personal. So I would have had to, live with that and, just deal with that on a daily basis. We also would have traveled to Milwaukee. And then you'd make fun of my city, my dear, cute little city. You'd make fun of my cute little team and my franchise and the stadium out there, which is kind of Hooterville. Do you know in Milwaukee at that stadium, they have they do a little game presentation between every pitch. So there'll be a pitch, and then they'll do some sort of sound effect, guitar riff, little light show, little thing on the scoreboard between every pitch. It took me several innings to get used to it. I'm like, what was that? What are you doing? Like, ball one. They'll do a little fake clap noise, or there'll be a pitch, and then and then they do a guitar riff, which is sort of like a company with a light show and things on the scoreboard. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Well, it's ball one. It's 1-0. Why are you doing that thing? And honestly, I swear, it sounds like an Orlando Magic basketball game.
Oh, boy.
It sounds like an NBA presentation. Yeah. Like, they do that sort of thing in between every pitch.
Minor league.
There's a riff. There's a guitar riff or a beat.
A slide. With
yeah. Boom, right. Chicka boom, chicka boom, chicka boom, 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 ball two.
They play Deo?
2-1.
Ball one.
Deo! It's between every pitch. They didn't do this back in my day, but they do this now. And I swear, you guys would have gotten out there. We'd have done shows from out there. And you would look at me and go, Felger, this is a one-horse town. This place sucks. You'd spend 3 days ragging on my dear city. You'd go to the game and say, Felger, this is Palookaville. This is minor league Yahoo crap. What is this?
They play the beer barrel polka?
They do it between every pitch. There's something. There's some sort of rodeo clown. Seriously, between every pitch. Guys, it's the NLCS. You don't need the bells and whistles. Just shh. But by the end of it, you sort of get used to it. But either way, it would have been a whitewash of a series. Would not have been a competitive series, I don't think. I mean, we don't have any starting pitching. Our best pitcher is allowed to go 2 innings. So you've got to be perfect in the pen, and you can't be perfect in the pen, no matter how good it is. You're trying to fill, we'd have games with 7-8 inning bullpen games. I mean, the Royals won on a bullpen, but they'd come in the sixth. That's one thing to bridge it through 3-4 innings with a good pen. You can't do it with 8. No one's pen is that good.
I mean, I haven't been in Milwaukee in years, Murray. I was hoping to see the Schott's Brewery.
So they turned
Schlitz,
the
you mean?
No, they turned the Pabst Brewery into a hotel.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they did. So whatever. But it's a one horse town, baby. And you guys would have gone there and just dumped on it mercilessly, and I would have had to sit there and taken it.
Get your picture taken with the statue of the Fonz.
Yeah,
the bronze Fonz. It would not have been pleasant. You would have kicked the crap out of the Brewers. And if I'm being honest, and I am, I'm honest. I just am honest. That's my great failing. Dodgers Red Sox is just a better series. It's just,
oh, that MLB executives say, oh, thank you God, on Saturday night.
Yeah, they do it between every pitch. Yeah. There'll be something. There'll be every pitch. There's something. But Dodgers Red Sox has tremendous juice and tremendous resonance, and the Dodgers star power. They can equal you in payroll. They can equal you in stars. They can equal you in just sort of being there and done that, and a team that mattered, all that. This is going to be a great series, and it's a much better matchup. And I'm sorry. Red Sox, Dodgers, Chavez Ravine, World Series. That's cool.
Time for the Brewers' call to the bullpen.
Red Sox, Brewers, Miller Park, it's not the same. As much as I want it to be, as much as I would be there, it's just not. It's not even close.
They play hit the road jack when the pitcher comes out of the game.
You name it. You name it. Everything.
Don't you come back.
Good Lord.
We was robbed.
So there's that. Red Sox, Dodgers, Bears, Patriots. Your thoughts on all right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
The Sports Hub. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Seven Patriots inside the 25. And all of them are experienced defensive backs. The snap to Trubisky. He's pressured by Claiborne. He starts to roll to his left. He pulls up. He heaves one deep to the end zone. That ball sailing toward the goal line. It's caught by White. White is caught and wrapped up short of the goal line.
Unreal.
And the Patriots are going to win, but that close to a Hail Mary and an answered prayer for Chicago.
We just go home. Let's get on a bus and go home. Get the heck out of here. Play around with a bad football team, bad things happen.
Jason McCourty was dragging him backward.
No, that's Harmon.
And Daron Harmon was the guy who stood him up.
Yep,
and
I got
kept
the two.
Him from breaking the play.
Daron Harmon saves the game for you, folks.
Patriots,
throw it back home.
38. The Bears, 31. That's the final from Chicago.
And there's your Pats final. That's on the list, too, today. They couldn't even defend the Hail Mary properly. You know who screwed that up royally? It was Gordon.
Josh Gordon, yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe I should put that on the coaches. What are you doing putting that guy back there anyway?
You're
know,
just asking for an injury. I hate that.
No, and I'm glad you brought this up because, again, he whiffed on the play.
Brutal.
Yeah, he whiffed on. He mistimed it.
And he was behind the play. He wasn't there to bat it down. The other guys were told not to jump because there's only one jumper, I guess. Like, it's a play. It's a defensive play. A couple of guys are there to box people out. The others are there to guard against the deflection, to be there ready for the deflection. There's supposed to be only one or two leapers, or maybe only one. It was supposed to be Gordon, and he was behind him. That's why he caught the ball. So Gordon screwed that up, but maybe he's just not ready for it. He's barely ready for the offense.
I'm surprised they put him out there in that spot. I mean, I know he's got a little size to him, but, like, you know, it's not as if he's Gronk and has been in the operation his whole career.
So anyway, there's that, and there's Red Sox Dodgers. Right back to your thoughts. And obviously the lineup's a big thing, too. What the Red Sox are going to do in L.A., that's a big point of contention that we'll get to with your calls here. James in Waltham, though, has a Patriots thought. Hi, James.
Hey, how we doing, Felga?
Good. What do you got?
I'm just going to say Murray. Like, Fuller was all over the fullback on that play. Brady should have never thrown it to him. He should have just thrown it away. And on the Dodgers, they're bumps. They're the Brooklyn bumps of yesteryear. They're not going to do anything. It's it.
Okay. I think you should overlook the Dodgers at your own risk. I think they're a legit team. Their pitching staff is outstanding. And they've been knocking at the door for a while now. If they were truly dogs and bums, they would have
packed it in.
They would have packed it in a long time ago. Instead, they outfought Colorado down the stretch for their division. Then they beat Colorado in that one game play-in. Then they blew doors on Atlanta. And then they outlasted a Brewers team that gave them all they could handle. If they were going to quit, they would have quit. They didn't quit.
No. The high-end talent really is what worries me most about the Dodgers.
And they pitched through their problems, and their high-end talent came through. It did.
I mean, that's what worries me, isn't it? Now, look, Machado's been added there, but if you go back to the beginning of the year, they had Seager at shortstop. He's a stud. Now he's out of it. They went and got Machado as a replacement. How many teams can do that? So between him, Turner, you know, Bellinger's got power. Peterson's got power. Puig can hit the ball out of the ball. Like, there are a lot of good players there. A lot of good players.
You can if you want. I mean, I don't know. You can overlook the Dodgers if you want. I think they're equipped to beat you. Not that they will. I'm just telling you, their pitching is elite. And if their pitching dials in, they can shut you down. They can. On the Brady interception, yeah, Murray blamed Devlin. I don't know. I think that caller is a point. You're at their 35. You're up 14 points.
6 minutes to go. 6.5.
The only thing you can't have there is an interception.
You just can't give the ball up.
Devlin was covered. It's not like some of these plays where Devlin's all alone as some sort of safety valve. The guy was right there.
Yeah, that the ball is in his chest and it squirts out and ends up in the other guy's hands.
Let me ask you this. If he doesn't fumble it, if he just catches it, is that a first down or is he going to be tackled short of the first down?
He's short.
So not even picking up a first down. What
Correct.
Are you doing?
Brady should have eaten the ball, thrown it to the ground or eaten it.
And then at the 35, then you punt and you hate punt to 35, but they're down 14 points. You execute that. I know you couldn't do it later, but now Ryan Tannehill has to drive two full fields to tie you with 6 minutes left?
No, you got it right. Ryan Tannehill. That's who he looks like.
Say yeah. Tannehill?
Same thing,
yeah.
Really.
Same guy.
That's what Bedard was referring to him
yeah,
as yesterday.
Same guy. It was impossible to not make that connection. He's a runner. He's a runner first. And Murray, you made a good point on that punt, too. Take a delay of game. Give him another 5 yards. He kicked it two-thirds of the way into the end zone.
But anyway, that's on the next one. Sure. On this one, third and two.
The whole sequence I hated. I hated all of it. You got a chance to close out the game 6.5 minutes to go. A, you don't get the first down. B, you turn it over. And then later on, you got a chance to punt when you did pick up first downs and kicked it into the end zone. I hated all of it. And then almost botched the Hail Mary. Like, all of it. Against a team that wanted to lose. The Bears wanted to lose that game. They did. They wanted to lose it. And the Patriots playing the way they did at the end to open the door a crack? Oh, the way they handled that pissed me off to no end.
Mike in Rhode Island, go on the defense.
Oh, how bad is the Patriots defense? You know the Chicago Bears wide receivers caught 5 balls, okay? And number 80 was wide open, caught 5 or 6 balls with nobody within 10 or 15 yards of him, and he was open on a couple more of them, right? I mean, and Trubisky was absolutely horrible. He threw up 31. He could have thrown up 50 against you guys. And if he does anything in the first half, he could throw. He could have thrown up 50. But it took a fumble recovery for a touchdown and a 100-yard kickoff to beat that team.
It's kind of scary. You gave up 31, and their quarterback couldn't throw it in the ocean. Just think if he had a little more accuracy.
Holy Manico, did he suck yesterday? And I don't know what he's like all the time. I can only go by yesterday.
I just hope he's not that bad. For the league's sake, for our sake.
I think he might be that bad.
Have to watch him time to time on national TV or whatever. I hope he's not that bad.
I mean, he was missing guys by like 10 yards. It wasn't even close. Now, there were a couple in there that he did that were dropped, too. Like, I think Robinson had one early in the game, remember? Like, and I was like, good God. He finally gets one to a guy, and the guy drops it. Their passing game blows.
Well, there should have been more interceptions. There was one in the end zone that should have been picked off by Landon Roberts. He throws right into triple coverage.
Two?
Gilmore had another shot at one, too.
Stephon Gilmore should have had a 100-yard pick six.
Yep.
And Landon Roberts right on his chest plate. Right in his chest plate in the end zone. Oh, man. Tannehill. Trubisky, what's the difference?
Yeah, same thing.
The same guy. It's a great comparison.
Yeah, the Tannehill of the Midwest.
Right. Coming up next, what do the Red Sox do when they head to L.A. and they have to take someone out of the lineup? I know the JBJ hippies trademark Adam Jones, or it's a derivative of an Aaron Jones take, Adam Jones take. The JBJ Moonies, the cult of JBJ, can't stomach the thought of Jackie Bradley Jr. and his 175 postseason batting average. I like to know officially what he's hitting. 5 for 27. Can we?
Yeah, I did it. 185.
Oh, he's 185. So you can't.
He's literally not hitting his weight.
You can't possibly take out a 185 hitter. You can't possibly do it because every once in a while he does a dipsy do out in center field. So Jackie Bradley has to stay, right? He has to. So what do they do? To the point where you're playing Mookie Betts at second? Are you really considering this? Are they really considering this? What do you think? We'll get to this story right after Murray's been here. 90 seconds, no commercials. The latest on Rob Gronkowski and Sony Michelle. So don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.